things of this class is not just to tell you the difference between Old Testament and New Testament perspective on faith, or when we get in the New Testament, which will be about a month from now, into the more different categories or concepts that fall underneath faith. It's the concept of what makes us an evangelical church, because we hold that faith is a personal thing that we have with God. You see, I mean, it's less and less in terms of the division between Catholicism and Protestantism as the centuries go on. But in the past, it used to be that faith is one more interwoven with the sacraments, that the church was the vehicle in which God gave the sacraments, which was a vehicle of actual grace. And then the evangelical says, no, it's personal faith. It's personal faith. So we move towards sacramental sort of representation of faith into the personal issue of faith. And it's important, because what is faith? Now, when I say this, I'm not saying it that, oh, everyone has to have this same understanding in order to be a Christian or believer in Jesus Christ. I've long rejected that. Most people I know don't even know the foggiest of theological things, okay? And they're fine Christians, okay? So I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm talking, though, that if you want someone to grow in Christ, there are a needed understanding of what faith is. So it's not something that everyone like will agree upon, okay? But I tell you, as you disciple people, as you mentor people, and Anne and Jean, you talk to your grandchildren about the faith, how is it that you are going to approach it? Okay. And so I have this PowerPoint that I made for this, and it's basically a test. Okay. It's a pop quiz for this class, because we didn't study it yet, but I just want to gauge what you think. Okay. So Garbo, I got to make sure I got screen share. I have to have green. I do have green share. Thank you.
I just turned it on. Yep.
And I'm going to this. You see my keynote presentation on the screen? You see? Nod your head if you see it. Yes. Okay, so we did faith, and we looked, looked at the discrepancy in emphasis from the Old and New Testament usage of faith. So that was a few weeks ago. We looked at faith in Abraham. We did that a few weeks ago. We looked at faith in Moses with a particular kind of little monkey wrench in Numbers 20, verse 12, which is, you know, Moses did not believe, and so he could not enter the land. And we have to get more into that, because we ended last week with this. The question I want to pose, and this is going to take more than this class. It's going to take next week, too. What is the relationship between faith and works? And I'm going to change this word works because it sounds bad. I'm going to use this word, faith and obedience. Because in Christianity, obedience sounds better than works. Just does. Once I say works, it's like, oh, no, you're constructing a straw man, Jeff. So what's the relationship between faith and obedience? Okay, now, believe it or not, I have, let's see, how many do I have? I got six options for you. And everyone should lean toward one, even if you're not sure. Okay, some of you may be more sure than others, but everyone should lean toward one, okay? So let's say 16, there's six of them, so 17%. One you should hold 18%, maybe, you know, or more. Okay, so let's go through them quickly, and then I'll get out a screen share and we can discuss them. Maybe take notes, And if one sort of like thinks, I think I hold this one, before you say, I think I hold to this one, wait until the final sixth one, okay? Because you might change your mind. Okay. One, option one, faith and obedience are interchangeable. Faith equals obedience, and obedience equals faith. It's the Old Testament focus. It's probably also, I could probably put in, it is how faith is seen in, now, once I mention this, it's going to paint a bad picture. Mormon understanding of faith and obedience. They're interchangeable. Okay, they're so close. I mean, it's not that they're the exact same concept. They're just interchangeable. You can't have faith without obedience. You can't have obedience without faith. You know, in Judaism, this is probably the best example of this. Judaism, you have in Judaism, they make a way for Gentiles to go to heaven who are not Jews through their obedience by showing extraordinary kindness and deliverance to the Jewish people. It's a very interesting thing. They don't have to be Jewish. They could be uncircumcised if they're male. But because of their obedience to show deliverance to Jews, they get in. Now that's interesting, because in Protestantism, generally, there is no such, category of entrance. Okay, so you know, this is option one. Faith and obedience, they're basically synonyms. Okay, synonyms. Okay, so let's look at the next one. Option two, faith is separate as a concept, but it is always infused with human obedience to God. The righteousness of God from heaven is infused, or let's say a word, combined, intermingled, with the righteousness of human followers of God. So they are separate in concept, but never separate in reality. This is the classic Roman Catholic understanding. Now, you'd say, well, what's the difference between this and option one and option two? Oh, it's very different. Because in option one, you may not have the faith, but since you have extraordinary obedience, that's good enough, you know, in Judaism. It's good enough. You could be a Gentile, worship your own God, but because you are kind and delivering Jews, you get it. In this view, it's not necessarily so, because they understand that there is a righteousness of God that comes upon you as a believer, but it's combined with your own pursuit of God. Combined together, that's what you got. It's combined together. So instead of like, in option one, it's basically two sides of the same coin. There's one coin. Okay? At the end of the day, there's one coin. In this one, the best analogy is that it's a rope or cord. Two strands, both together, make up the cord. Usually it's three or four, but let's say it's two strands. They're separate, but you can never remove them. Okay, you can say, well, so I like to save money. I like to untwine the cord, and so I could double it. Okay, you have your own quirkiness, okay? You got your own problems there, okay? But usually you could see the distinction, but they're always together. This is option number two. Okay, and it's a typical, a traditional Catholic understanding. Let's look at number three. Faith is separate as a concept and in the process of salvation. It is not tied with obedience as in infusion. So it's not like, oh, it's just so twined, you can never separate it. They can separate it, but obedience always follows as a result of justification by faith alone. This is your traditional Reformed view. See, in Catholicism, they're entwined. In traditional Reformed theology, Calvinist, neo-Calvinist, you don't want to see them entwined. You want to see them separate but connected. So what is this analogy? And I should write analogies. So analogy is two sides of a coin. Okay, of a coin. That would be that for option one. For the Catholic understanding, the analogy would be strands in a, let's say, rope. In Reformed view, what it is interesting. It's how would I say it? Like a train that's pulling another car. They're connected, but one follows the other. But what'd you say? Tom, did you say something? I didn't.
Doing.
I'm trying to say connection. There's connection.
How about a branch of a tree?
It's connected. From the root to the trunk to the branches. Okay? You got to have the trunk first. Well, you got to have the root. Let's say tree. And you have
the trunk.
Roots, trunk, and branches. Okay? Yeah, that's what we'll do that for now. I might think of another one, but it's more that you understand the sort of concept. I'm spelling it wrong.
B-R-A-N-C-H-E-S.
Yeah, there it is. That one always leads to the other if it's real. Okay, maybe it's not even roots, it's seed. To roots, to trunk, to branches, okay? That the seed that's alive will always produce the roots, always produce the trunk, always produce the branches. The seed in Reformed view is the faith. So you see how it's different, but it's connected. One precedes the other. This is one of the cornerstones of Reformed theology, okay? It's not about Calvinism, okay? Like, oh, does, you know, God control all things? Actually, this is one of the centerpieces of Reformed view, that faith is separate from obedience, but faith always leads to obedience. As a seed, if it's alive, always leads to the roots and the trunk and the branches. You see, you can't say the seed is the branches. No, the seed is not the branches. The seed is intertwined with the branches. No, the seeds are not intertwined with the branches. The seeds always eventually produce the branches. Ah, there you have Reformed theology. You got that. So if you hold this view, you hold that a believer always produces growth and obedience in their following of Christ, which may or may not be the position you hold. Okay, believe it or not, we don't have time for questions. If I just get through these six before 10 o'clock, I feel good. Option four, faith is separate as a concept and in the process of salvation. It is not tied with obedience as in infusion, as with infusion. I should change this. But faith is described as leaving all things to follow Christ. Obedience always follows as a result of justification by faith alone. And this obedience is of a high level. Now you say, what's the difference between this one and this one? The difference between these two is this. Oops. But faith is described as leaving all things to follow Christ. This is the view that begins to define faith in a certain way in order to lead to a high level of commitment. This is the Lordship view, the John MacArthur view, Master's Seminary view. You see, now I'm going to tell you how it plays out. Let's say you have the Catholic view. John MacArthur would look at this as, oh, this is heresy here. Faith is never infused with human obedience. You know, it's never that. And faith is never received through the taking of sacraments. Actually, faith is putting it all in for God, leaving all things to follow God. So it doesn't mean you're obeying, but it means when you believe, you have the mindset change to turn things over to God and to do things God's way. Okay. Now, by this, generally in Lordship, John MacArthur, Master Seminary, not all Master Seminary people hold to this, but generally it's taught obedience is a very high degree. Because only people who have this faith to turn things over to God, those are the true Christians. You see, he's upping the level of the definition of faith itself, and by that, it yields to higher level obedience, you see. And so for John MacArthur, he would say, well, how about most people in who call themselves Christians in this world? He'd say, ah, they're not really Christians. Because faith is described as leaving all things to follow Christ. People go to church, people take the sacraments, people are baptized, people go to Sunday school, they sing, but do they have the mindset to follow Christ? You see, for John MacArthur and Lordship, they'd say, if you don't have that, you're not a believer because you don't have faith. You see, it's kind of tied with the Reformed view, but I'll put this. Reformed view is, you know, you make chili and you get these chili packets like, oh, this is 2-alarm chili. This is 3-alarm chili. Okay, John MacArthur is 5-alarm chili. It's hot, okay? He raises the temperature up by defining faith in such a way. Okay, we got two more, and then we got about 5 minutes of questions, and then we'll continue it next week. Option 5. Faith is separate as a concept and in the process salvation. Now, if you notice between number 2, 3, 4, and 5. 3, 4, and 5 always begin the same way because once you get into 3, you're getting into Protestantism. Once you're in 2, you're more in traditional Catholicism. So there's a sort of a line break between this and this. But if you get to number 5, look at this one. Faith is separate as a concept and in the process of salvation, it is not tied with obedience as in infusion, so it's not Catholic. And it never necessarily follows those who have faith. Obedience is seen as a desirous option for the believer. Now, this one is very different from this one. You look at John MacArthur, it's like everyone who comes to faith has the mindset to follow Christ already. That's what faith is. Number 5 says you can have faith But obedience is really, and I'll say this, I'm not going to say that they always say it's not present, but they'll say it's kind of optional. It's the next step. This is the theology of Arminianism and what we call Keswick theology. And there's a huge difference between this and this, okay? Because this one, you could say, you could have believers who, people who follow God and true believers who never really lived for God, okay? Number four, John MacArthur says, what have you been smoking, you know? How can you have a true believer that doesn't live for God? By nature, that defines whether you're a believer. You see, so number four and number five, it's like Grand Canyon division. You know, Grand Canyon. Okay, so this is interesting because there's theological systems that follow this, number five. And so the key is this phrase, and it never necessarily follows those who have faith. Obedience is seen as a desirous option for the believer, but it never necessarily develops. Okay? This one, it always develops in a high level. This one, it always develops. We just don't talk about the level. Okay. Again, this one, not sure it always develops. Okay, let's go with the final one. Option six, faith is always separate from obedience. So salvation is guaranteed by faith. I should have written something else about what faith is. There can be believers in God who exhibit very little obedience. And I'm going to change this. There could be true believers in God. And the reason why they could say that is because faith is not leaving all to follow Christ, but accepting his gracious atonement on from the cross. See how different this is. Faith is not leaving all to follow Christ, but accepting the gracious atonement. This one says, what are you talking about? Faith is also the desirous option. Not this one. This one. Faith is also the desire to follow God and give up all things. Because you have all those statements, the heart teachings of Jesus. Okay. So let's give analogies. This is the Reformed view. This would be the determined I just put determined dieter. I'm determined to do this. It's part of the dieting process. I'm in the process of being in a keto diet. So Keswick is this one. It would be like, what is it? What's something that you could have options on? Like let's say buying a car.
Extended warranty.
Yeah, you want the economy or a deluxe model. But the economy and deluxe, how about this? Instead of economy, it's sort of you start, but you can upgrade. I don't know. It's like economy. It's like economy car with no radio or air conditioning or air con. I'll just put air con. But you can upgrade later. Okay, that's Keswick theology. Okay, no radio, not Rio radio. Okay, or aircon. And salvation is taking the free sample at Costco. Okay, let's put it as simple as possible. Okay, let's take, once you take the sample, that's it. You don't have to buy it. You don't have to buy you don't have to buy the 2 gallons of mayonnaise, you know? Just taste the mayonnaise. There you got it. You got it. You don't have to buy it. Okay? With this one, maybe I'll buy the little box, the little package of mayonnaise, but I could buy the 2 gallon one later. This one, you can't just buy the little packet. Hey, you tasted it. That means nothing. You either buy the 2 gallons at Costco now with the sale, or you don't. All or nothing. This one, it says, you'll buy, but we're not forcing you to buy the 2 gallons of Costco. Buy whatever you'd like, you know? But you're going to buy. You're going to buy. This one is, I don't know. I can't think of an analogy with mayonnaise, you know? Okay, so here it is, 6 of them, and we got about 5 minutes for any questions you have, and you should have many questions. Yes, Gene.
And you send these to us in an email so we can print them out.
Can I send it to Garbo, and Garbo send it to the class?
I can post it on the mail, like the equip mailing list, and then everybody can get it like that. You want me
Would
to that,
that be okay with everybody? Okay, yeah, what I'll do, let me write something to do, to send it to Garbo.
Okay.
Or you can send me your email to jeff_louis@pbc.org, and I get you this thing. So I word them in a kind of a theological way, you know. Each word is loaded theologically. That's the difference between the pastoral mind and the theological mind.
Okay.
Okay, any questions on these 6 views? Yes, Ben.
Regarding view 4, Masters, does he have in mind a certain kind of obedience? If you leave all to follow Christ, does that mean like, you know, full-time Christian service, or does he have some kind of...
No.
Oh, okay.
But it means, let's say this, like my grandson's is in, he's 10 years old, he plays baseball. Okay, he's on some little league team. So let's talk about what it looks like as a little leaguer with these views. For John MacArthur, doesn't mean you're going to be a pro player. It does mean you're going to be playing baseball on an amateur level or semi-pro level, or you'll be a softball player in the park in your neighborhood league. It means you're going to be playing. Doesn't mean you're going to be
proficient.
Yeah, you're going to be
Triple A.
Yeah, you're going to be an all-star. You're not going to be Willie Mays, you know. But you're gonna be playing in the game, you see. So that's how I would define it. I don't want to make it so that it's impossible to attain, but all true believers will be playing. All true ball players will be playing baseball. They're gonna be playing baseball. Okay, so that's how I would put it.
Okay, Jeff. This is Tony.
Hi, Tony.
I have 2 comments, actually.
Yes.
Maybe one of them is a question. First, we define what faith is, but you didn't really define what faith is. You just made analogies to what faith is. So
yes.
In terms of speaking about faith, can you give us what's a concrete, is faith a concrete, it's not concrete, it's not physical, is it? In our sense, for Christians, it's spiritual, but I'm trying to define what faith is. Is it a...
You know, you ask an excellent question, Tony. what is faith? Because maybe before we can answer like which one option you hold, you have to say, what is faith? So let's say, is faith accepting a simple doctrinal standard? So you got people says, oh, all people who affirm the Nicene Creed are believers. For you to make that statement, you're basically saying, if you accept a simple doctrinal standard, you're in. Okay? Now let's give another one. They said, no, it's not a simple doctrinal standard. It's accepting forgiveness as a gift from God. This is your basic, like a Billy Graham crusade type of thing. Free grace, it's very common evangelical position on about faith. Accepting forgiveness as a gift. So it's accepting something. It's not on you responding to something. It's you accepting something. So let's look at this. Let's say this is a doctrinal statement. Let's say it's more, I don't know, mental. This is more on the receiving, it's receiving end. It's the receiving end, okay? Now you could have another one that says, I need to make this bigger. Yeah. I'm gonna take this out, receiving, okay? It's it has an emphasis of doing obedience, okay? Aspect of doing, you see that comment. Let's say you have this, it's faith is accepting the grace from the cross and acknowledging your inability to solve your problems. So faith is a trust and turning to God. Okay, now this one's very different because it has grace, but it has your classic understanding of what repentance is. I can't save myself, so I have to trust in God to deliver me. Okay, now let's look at the next one. Oh, it's 10. Oh, man. I got to do it. Sorry, forgive me. I'm going to go 1 minute over, okay? Faith is an all-in moment where you turn fully committed to follow God. Okay, now we don't have time, but you see this, I'll send it out to Garbo, and if I have your email, I'll send it to you. We'll talk about this next week. But Tony, you asked a very good question. Now we have to get in, what are we talking about faith anyway, you know? And we're gonna look at this. Okay, we gotta go, it's 10:01. Sorry for taking you over time.
Okay.
But I'll see you next week, okay?
Bye.
Take care, bye.